Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Seltzers.
Why not funk it up if I can funk it up? You know?
Seltzer woke up in a good mood, I can tell.
Smooth.
You should smooth be with funk. The Eagles and the Phillies, man.
Right.
Because, Ruben, you can't listen to this. I mean, you can, but you don't normally in a bad mood, right?
Well, you can put yourself in a better mood.
You can try. Right? I guess that's true. Yeah, I would say that's right. You could certainly make that attempt. All right, good morning to you. So a lot of things on the table here today, including the Eagles offense. We're going to play coming up shortly. While we have Ron Jaworski on, we'll play the audio of both Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown after the game, what they said, notable comments about the Eagles offense. Essentially, to boil it down for you, they want to see the Eagles run things a little different offensively. And the conundrum is, should they? When you consider that the team almost always finds a way to win.
I'd love to know the conversations he had with Quick sometimes when the offense wasn't working.
Who's that, AJ?
Jaws.
Jaws with Mike Quick. Yeah.
Throw me the ball.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. We have no offensive line! Both of them would complain about that.
That's true.
Not Jaws when he had Stan Walters and Sizemore, but holy mackerel. Holy mackerel. What I grew up with in the Marion Campbell years, no line. You can have all the Jaworskis and all the Quicks you want, but if you can't block, you can't win. And that was certainly the case when I was young. All right, 215-592-9494. So Jaws coming up shortly. I want to play some audio of Nick Sirianni. I thought he said some very notable things about A.J. Brown after the game, which in many ways I thought speaks well to Sirianni as a leader and how he went out of his way to praise A.J. Brown. But I also think it really speaks so highly of A.J. Brown as a player and as a leader within that locker room and the culture that has been fostered, that A.J. Brown is a big part of fostering. I thought this was really great. We're going to break this down into two parts because obviously last week was a lot of chatter about the A.J. thing. And Sirianni after the game said this about A.J.
You don't have to live your life and as a team, as a football team, the way people think you should respond. I watched A.J. Brown handle all your questions with as a great teammate and with grace. Obviously, he wants the football. Obviously, he needs to get the football. Obviously, to do the things that we want to do, he's got to have the season that he's had the last couple years, the last 3 years when he's been second team all pro and went over 1,000 yards every time. That's the nature of the position.
Let me say something here. When I heard Nick Sirianni say that, I thought back to Jeffrey Lurie, and I think it was two coaches ago when he hired Doug, if I remember right, when he talked about that he wanted emotional intelligence.
You've got to open your heart.
Yeah, well, that one too, James. That was another classic.
That was the same thing. It was both.
Same
he was
day.
Saying emotion. You open your heart was part of the emotional intelligence thing. That was the point.
Like when I, because Ruben, you've been around baseball obviously the most in your life, but you're a sports fan. You played the whole deal. Like a lot of coaches don't think like that. They certainly don't talk like that. But I really continue to be impressed with the way Nick Sirianni has a feel for his team, a feel for how to lead. But also credit to A.J. Brown, because you know the deal, Ruben. It would have been really easy for A.J. to complain, not only last week, over the last like couple seasons.
No question about it. I mean, this is a guy that arguably is the top, what, three or four?
Absolutely. Three or four.
Three or four
yes.
receivers in the game.
And his numbers don't show it.
And he was, the numbers don't show it because they were not targeting him all
yeah,
that much.
That's right.
And it's very easy to be, you know, to be a little upset. He probably was.
Probably he, was.
But, and should have been. But he handled it in a tremendous way. So I go back to what Howie said to me about Sirianni when he hired him. I said, congratulations on your hire. I hope it works out for you. I can't remember the text or the conversation. And he said, Ruben, it's not just about his coaching abilities. I hired a great person.
Yeah, that's good.
I hired a great person. So emotional intelligence had to be part of that. And I know, knowing Howie, that was something that was, I'm sure, studied. I'm sure it was something that he had background checks on the guy.
Sure.
I know there's all types of stuff going on. And it makes sense now.
It makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. You can say a lot of things about that first press conference because you're like going,
yeah,
this is different.
Right.
But they love playing for him.
And they play hard.
And they do what you're supposed to do on the field for the man.
I agree. Here's more of Sirianni because he continued with the praise and the context around the AJ situation. Here's more of what he said.
It's just a great example of like, everybody wants immediate results, and we want immediate results, but there's a process to it. Like, we don't have to live to what anybody else thinks except for what our standard is. And I always respect your guys' questions, but, you know, obviously he got asked a lot of questions this week where I've seen a lot of guys go a different way in that, and he handled every one of them that I saw with just so much grace, with so much maturity. And I know what someone's gonna say, like, well, did he? And I'm like, yeah, he did. He said the right thing. Well, I know he wants the football, but he said the right things the entire week, and that's big for a team.
It is big for a team because, John, you know, you get one guy squawking, you know,
well,
it can create problems.
We've experienced this, and AJ, I just thought his comments, especially, you know, after this game, the level, I just was overwhelmed at how far he's come in terms of just being able to positively express something that's not necessarily 100% positive. Like, he's saying something that, you know, hey, it's not going to be received the same by everyone.
Right.
And he's saying it in such a way that it's palatable by everyone, including his teammates.
Sure.
And this is...
And how about this,
John? This is what makes up good teams. Guys
well,
who can facilitate the flow for not just themselves, but everyone else around
yeah.
them to make it palatable and agreeable
yeah.
for all their teammates.
And I'll add one more thing and then right to the phones, and then Jaws joins us in the next couple of minutes. How about being ready when your number's called? How many times in sports do you see someone whose number hasn't been called, in this case for two and a half games, and you phase
this?
Out? You phase out.
This is what teammates value. Like, when your number's called,
yeah.
every time you make good on it,
yeah.
like AJ did in
right.
this game, man, it counts for a lot.
Because if he says it halftime, two and a half games into the season, you know what? Screw this. Mm-hmm. I'm never getting the ball. Why run as hard? Why block as hard? Why believe I'll get it?
That's the thing.
If he says that, they lose the game.
John right. would know
they would
better,
have lost right. the game.
John would know this better than I because he's had teammates who there's a diva level of of
Owens, Terrell.
I'm just saying. there's a diva level of, you know, athlete when it comes to
great
when it
athletes
comes to that.
Are divas to some
right.
degree.
And
like Jerry Rice was a diva to some degree. He's just that amazing. Like, I don't know. They need the ball.
They need
and
the ball.
And they know it, and that comes through,
and everyone knows the fact that he does need the ball and does not express to the world that he needs the ball necessarily
right.
in a negative way and then comes through the way he did. How about? Can we talk about his hands?
Unbelievable.
They're the most ridiculous hands I've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
Strong.
All right, so very admirable. So we wanted to present that for you. You can react. Also, we'll get to the Phillies more on the leadoff spot, who it should be. Jaws will join us shortly. Dan in Philadelphia right now. Good morning, Dan.
What's up, crew? How are we?
Doing great, Dan.
John, do you think Joe's a diva athlete?
Come on.
He's a diva. He's not an athlete.
Well, let me tell you something, Dan. When I F-bombed the line judge in tennis, that was a righteous F-bomb.
You weren't being an athlete, though.
Righteous diva. F-bomb. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I agree. If A.J. Brown needs the ball, we need him to need the ball. And anything thrown towards him, he catches. So it's not like he's complaining and moaning and not showing. Like, if the ball goes near him, he catches. And he did an AI step over the cornerback on Sunday. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Sure
that.
Did.
That which
it was more violent than Allen's. Allen's was a little bit more
cocky. You know, I agree.
AJ's was like, that was awesome, man.
But he should get the ball more. To the question of, you know, should we change the offense? I think it's clear through three games at this point that the league is concentrating on Barkley. So, you know, like we did in the second half, then you have to open up with passing in order to get it back to Barkley. That's just how I look at the offense right now. And it's, I think they're challenging still to this day, Jalen Hurts to beat them with his arm. And I guess that's what we have to do. That's what he's shown he can do when it's called upon. So I think that is moving forward. We have to play like the second half and the first half in order for Saquon to start producing again. I don't think he's taking a step back. I just think they're completely concentrated.
But Dan, I think people should acknowledge he may have taken a step back. I'm not saying that he did, guys. I'm not.
As in what? 1,500 yards instead of 2,000 or 1,200 yards?
I'm telling you, his body could be compromised based on last year. I mean, three games into the season, to me, he does not look the same. Now, offensive line hasn't been the same.
That's too far.
John, but there is evidence.
It's not crazy to say.
It's not crazy.
It might not be true, but it also possibly could be.
Yes.
Like, you've got to acknowledge it's possible.
He had 482 touches last year. There is not great history when you have 482 touches of being as good the next year. There's just not good history on it.
Mm-hmm. I think he defies history. I think Saquon.
Maybe
is
he
a
will. But the
and
point is, you can acknowledge that it's possible.
Old.
Like it's
Hold
at
on.
Least
it is possible.
Okay,
but he's 28 years old.
Yeah,
let's bear that in mind. A 28 year old is in the peak of his athletic performance. I expect him to go off this year.
DeMarco Murray was probably the same age, right around the same age.
I ran him into the ground.
That was 500 touches that year. All right, I got to move to Jaws. Dan, give me an answer. What's the best what-if in the history of sports?
All right, this what-if will change the NFL history, and it'll change possibly John's history. If Drew Bledsoe never got hurt,
great one.
He may have two Super Bowls.
Wow. Eagles might have. Yeah, Eagles
By the
have,
way, Joe, yeah. DeMarco Murray as an Eagle was 27 years old.
Yeah.
He had that season in Dallas at 26.
And he was cooked.
And he was cooked.
Cooked. All right, let's talk to Jaws. Now, before we do, because we told you earlier, I mean, Afterglow still exists from the game 2 days ago. I know our mindset's a little bit into the move-on mode and how should they attack offensively and should they lean on Jalen more and run a little bit less and all these good things we're talking about today. But Afterglow still exists. I got to hear it, Seltzer. I got to hear the audio. Here's a what-if. What if Jordan Davis hadn't blocked the kick? Well, maybe the kicker would have made it. Maybe he would have missed it. Here's what we know. He blocked it, and they're 3-0.
The ball is spotted. The kick is away. It's blocked! It's picked up by the Eagles. Running with it is Davis. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Game over! Jordan Davis!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked him again!
Are you kidding me?
Blocked him again! Have you ever seen anything like this?
Love it. Let's talk to Jaws. He had some games that were, you know, miraculous with the way the Eagles would win a game. Jaws, good morning, my man.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Joe. What a great call by Merrill Reese. And Merrill, throughout his career, has had unbelievable calls. That is one of the best. I always love hearing Mike Quick in the background giggling.
Totally, man. So, Merrill, not in my opinion, not quite, you know, Miracle in the Meadowlands, Herm Edwards, but it ranks up there. I mean, you played in a lot of these games. You followed it for 50 years, you know, as an Eagle in your heart for 50 years. I mean, this one was a uniquely impressive comeback coupled with the walk-off win in that fashion. I think it ranks pretty high in the random regular season games in Eagles history.
No doubt about it. We'll see how this plays out at the end of the year, how big of a game it was, because the Rams are a good football team. But I got to admit it, at halftime, you know, I do a halftime show for NBC Sports, and I was ripping this Eagle team. They didn't show up.
Yeah.
What went wrong? Why aren't they ready to play? The Rams are a good team. I mean, I was ripping them. Second half, I take it all back. They made me eat my words.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the one thing, the word that jumped out to me when I think about doing the show with you guys is complimentary. Complimentary football wins. This is one of those days where that phrase holds true. Offense, defense, special teams, all made a strong, strong commitment to winning and got it done in the second half. Complimentary football wins.
So, Jaws, I want to play some audio for you here. I almost called you Ron. I never call you Ron.
Oh, man, you want, Jaws.
I mean, your parents named
anything
you Ron.
Anything but
so,
his name, yeah, exactly.
You know, it is your name. But all right, so, Jaws, I want to play this audio for you of Jalen Hurts after the game. Jalen and AJ said somewhat similar things, and I want to play the Jalen audio specifically for you and get your assessment of whether the Eagles should attack differently offensively and do so earlier in games. Here's something Jalen said.
Now, we completely did that to ourselves in the first half. Completely. I mean, absolutely completely did that to ourselves, and that's something we gotta fix. It's as simple as that. It's unacceptable.
It's like you guys said later for this. Whatever happened in that first half, forget about it. Let's go and show who we are.
We play so many styles of football. We're in that first half. We got to get out of this plan not to lose. We got to come out aggressive and play our game. You saw our game in the second half.
So, Jaws, should they play different? Because they play the way they play, and they almost always win. It looks a little funky. Should they open it up more or not?
No, I don't think so. I think it, you know, now that we know exactly the way things worked out, it's easy to say that. I actually thought the Rams allowed the comeback. I thought the Rams in the second half, once it was 26-7, kind of relaxed. They started playing a little softer zone. I mean, giving the, you know, they say, hey, okay, we got a big lead. We're not going to give up the big play. I thought the Rams changed what they were doing defensively. I think that's what allowed us to get back in the game. Obviously, we made the plays. That's the given. But in the first half, the Rams had a good plan. They blitzed the hell out of Jalen with great success. In fact, the one thing I noticed through three games, all three games have been teams have been picking up their blitzes against Jalen and this offense. In fact, I got it at 98 dropbacks, 42 blitzes. So that's close to 50% they're coming at.
Wow.
I think that's one thing that I'm sure the Eagles will work on. The teams are out coming after the quarterback, and now the wide receivers aren't winning quick enough at the line of scrimmage. But I just think the Rams allowed the Eagles to get back in the game. And once they got back in the game, you could just see the confidence in A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You could just see Jalen's confidence go up. The offensive line begin to block better. So I thought the Rams changed their game plan once they got that big lead.
The complementary football aspect of it, yeah, the run opens up the pass and vice versa.
But no doubt.
Are you concerned, Jaws, about the way the first 3 weeks, the teams that were playing, it's not just the Rams, they stymied the run. You know, Saquon is averaging 3.3 yards a carry for the season. How concerned are you that there's a template out there for how to slow down our run game that teams can actually accomplish?
And, you know, quite honestly, our offensive line is not playing as well as it's played in the past. And I think Jeff Stoudland, the offensive line coach, will probably get that fixed. They just have not been sharp. They've been allowing too much penetration. Their combo blocks have not been as good as I've seen in the past, as crisp as I've seen in the past. So I think those are things that need to be addressed. So, but I still think this team can run the football with anybody. I don't think Saquon has lost anything. If anything, as I look at the tape, I'm saying Saquon might be looking for the home run too often. You know, looking for that cutback. You know, hey, after last season, I could see why he would do that. But I think he's probably right now probably almost too patient, you know, looking for that big play.
Why did it take so long to arrive at the point that we got hurry up and aerial with our offense? You know, was this the first time that the Eagles were really tested and so they opened it up? Or how did we arrive at throwing the ball more, Jaws?
Yeah, we fell behind 26-26.
I'll do it.
I guess that's pretty straightforward.
Well, Jaws, let me ask you this. Jaws,
your play call sheet, you just rip half it up.
Right.
So, Jaws, the
third and
fifth. Catch up against a very good Rams team. And by the way, this is a very good Rams team, and I would not be surprised if, you know, we see them again in the postseason. So that would be a treat. So, but no, I think this team still would like to maintain its balance. It's still a running team. It still has all weapons at every position. And I think the good thing is they can win almost by any way they want. You know, can we run the football?
Yeah.
Yes, we can run the football. We know that. Can we throw the football? We saw the second half that we can throw the football against a very good defensive team. So, quite
honestly,
I'm
catch
not really
a kickoff?
Concerned about this team. I think, you know, we'll stub our toe somewhere down the road. It's a National Football League. But this is a really, really good football team.
Why? How concerned are you?
Just,
Yeah.
Except for the kick return team, the kickoff return team, were outstanding.
Have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, this whole squib kick thing, whatever he was doing, clearly it works and makes it nearly impossible to field.
Well, if I'm the Eagles, and we'll talk to Sirianni about it coming up at 8:40, I'm having Jake Elliott try it. Uh-huh. I mean, if the knuckle, I mean, I know the announcers were calling it a dirty kick. I'll call it a knuckleball kick. I mean, Jaws, I can't imagine John Metchie forgot how to catch the ball. If it's a knuckleball.
Good point, Joan. Yeah. So you mentioned a knuckleball. I think of Hoyt Wilhelm, that old throwback baseball pitcher. That
Tom Candiotti.
Hey, there we go. Now we're talking, going old school with some knuckleball pitchers. And you remember the catcher wore that big old giant mitt they used to have as a catcher? It was about the size of a garbage can lid, to stop the ball because no one could catch a knuckleball.
Ruben, what was it like to hit a knuckleball? I guess you hit against the Marlins guy. No, what was his name?
Charlie Huff.
And Huff.
Yeah, I like that.
I never got Huff.
Say, you know what?
Don't think.
Game evolves. And someone found a way to a kicker that could kick this damn knuckleball. Everyone's going to be working on it this week.
Yeah, for sure.
Jaws, talking about moving forward Eagles-wise with this Buccaneers team. They're 3-0, too. They've actually won a bunch of games now in the fourth quarter. I think it's every game they've played this year. They've come and won it in the fourth quarter. So they're resilient like we are. Man, what are they doing well, and how well is Baker Mayfield playing?
Baker Mayfield's playing phenomenal. Last week, not this week, last week he had the best two-minute drill I've seen in a long, long time to take his team down the field. You know, in less than 2 minutes to win a football game, he was absolutely ridiculously good. And he's playing good right now. But my concern is Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles just seems to have the Eagles' number and Jalen's number as well. So it's one of those games. I don't think the Buccaneers are that good. They're 3-0, but I don't think they played 3-0 football. Well, you are where your record says you are, as Bill Parcells would say. But I don't think they're that great of a football team. If Mike Evans is out, it's a big plus for the Eagles' secondary.
Yeah.
So, as of now, I haven't gotten into my real drill down on the Buccaneers yet, but I don't think – they don't strike fear into my heart right now.
Yeah, and Jaws, I've noticed they've – because you picked them as the second-best team in the conference, but while they're 3-0, they've had some very close wins against teams that really aren't
– Last night, the Lions all that hot. Pretty scary. The Lions are actually better than I thought with this new offensive coordinator, Johnny Morton.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the great Green Bay Packers that we all had penciled in for the Super Bowl after 2 weeks?
Yeah, Cleveland defense, Jaws.
A lot of people jump on the bandwagon really quick. Only let the season play out a bit.
Played the juggernaut Browns, it's tough.
I've had the show for years with you guys.
Sure.
Let four games play out. Then we'll start to get a template of who we are, who they are, and who the schedule presents as tough teams or weak teams.
Yeah, that's not my style as a sports fan, Jaws.
You're a very emotional guy.
All right, Jaws, let's one other topic, and it's an important one, and I know this hit you hard. Bernie Perron passing away this weekend was very notable. I know you and he were very close. You, me, and Bernie did many shows together. Yeah. When you and I hosted a show together, if you could, Bernie Perron, what he meant to you, what he meant to the city of Philadelphia.
Well, I've known Bernie since I came to Philadelphia in 1977. He's nothing but pure class. And I'm not talking about the great goalie he was, one of the best in the history of the National Hockey League, but one of the most giving gentlemen I've ever been around. I had my golf tour now for 41 years to raise money for my foundation. If Bernie couldn't show up to play, he would show up for the pairings party, sign autographs, take pictures with people. He always gave back. He was one of the most unique people I've ever met. I mean, you talk about an iconic figure in the city of Philadelphia, it's Bernie Perron.
Yeah. He's
dearly, dearly missed. He was a super, super person.
Jaws, he had that ability, his presence. And Ruben, Dutch had this also. I made this comparison yesterday. You get in their presence, you immediately become in a better mood.
No question. I mean, always a smile on his face. I mean, same thing for me. He used to come to, the Richie Ashburn and Harry Cowles Foundation. And even if he couldn't play, he would just be there.
Yeah.
And he just would brighten up the room.
He would brighten up the room.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Brighten up the room.
He really would.
You guys are all correct. And I think there's just something about Bernie. It's Bernie Perron.
Yeah, well, that too.
And he's here. There was something... One of the greatest hockey players of all time, greatest goalies of all time. And to be in his presence, I tell you, was an honor.
Yeah. And, of course, Jaws, with the Eagles, we're hoping they win a second title in a row for the first time since Bernie Perron and Bobby Clark and Bill Barber. I mean, we've referenced the 74-75 Flyers many times over the last, 7-8 months saying, let's hope this breaks the trend of one and done. Let's try to get two.
Hey, Joe, and speaking of history, how about – You know, it's been 50 years since Eagles blocked two field goal attempts, and they were both blocked by Bill Berge in 1975. Huh. By the way, in that game, Bill Berge also blocked an extra point. Thank you, Sal Palantonio, for the nugget he gave me. So,
jeez.
You know, there's a lot of history going on right now.
So he had three blocked kicks in the same game.
Did he do? That's did he correct. Block them all the same way, Josh?
Blocked field goals and a blocked extra point. Bubba Berge.
Oh, man.
Holy cow.
I wonder if that's the game he had the 34 tackles, which is something. All right, Jaws, awesome stuff, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Jaws.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you too, Jaws. How great is that? I did not know that. Bill with 34, I mean, I knew the 34 tackle, but three blocks in the same
there's
game.
Something, there's something afoot right now in the NFL. I mean, Bill Berge, three blocks in the same game. There were tons of blocks going on everywhere.
Yeah, Jets game,
and
right?
getting a return.
Jets game, Jets, the Browns. Dude. The Browns won by blocking yeah. Green Bay's kick at the end and then taking down
I
the
will say,
himself.
It did look like the Rams kicker kicked it low, though.
It did.
I mean, he's got to get that ball.
Especially for a 44-yarder.
Totally.
Really low.
Yeah, very low.
When you, yeah, the trajectory gets lower the farther that you come out. But when you're this tall, when you're this tall and yeah. this penetrating, it's going to be really hard to get it up over anything. But that, this what blocking thing
yeah.
where you can actually jump over people, the Jets guy
literally leaped
over
yeah.
the center.
Yep. Leaped
and the
over.
Rule is if you don't touch him, you can do it.
Right.
Like, I think they're going to do it a lot. Just like I think we can continue to accomplish this with that double
I
push.
I don't. I'll make you a prediction. No more block kicks the rest of the year by the
way. You're crazy. I mean,
John is such a Pollyanna. They blocked two kicks
you
in the same
crazy.
Game for the
I
first time.
Sound
why
coming
will they
up.
Not be able to do it again?
I'll make you bet. Well, no, I don't make a bet because
why
I never.
Why would they not be able to do it again?
Because it's a hard thing to do.
We
how about,
just
how about
saw,
that reason? About,
we just saw,
and then we saw
maybe
all
they found the glitch.
That they can do
maybe
it
they
with.
Found the glitch.
I would
when
make
they
the,
do it
see,
this
Ruben,
way.
I would make the bet, but I never make a bet that's anti something good happening for Philly sports.
I'm telling you, we've listened so to
this. You pick Cowboys in fantasy football.
That's
different.
That's fantasy.
And now he's hurt.
That's fantasy.
So sad. Yeah, I'm so sad. I thought
doing.
Of you.
Got the concept him. Of what we're doing.
Well, we're back to this
you're
again.
You're taking Jalen Carter, who gets two or three people on him every
someone
single
time. Someone else make the bet with Ritchie. I'm
real
not
quick,
making
so,
it.
And Jordan Davis. On one guy.
Give so, Ritchie the next five games, someone make a bet.
It averages out, there's about a blocked field goal per week in the NFL.
Okay.
So last year there were 18 the year before
so
there were 19.
So that's one per season for a team.
Yep.
Because you play...
Well, no, less than that. It's like 17 or 18 or 19, so it's there are 32 teams. So it's less than one per team
so
per
it's
year.
Like one block kick every 2 years.
More, for a little, a team. A little oh, yeah, yeah, a little under that. Whatever.
John, if you want to make
we're
the bet,
block more.
Pick someone else. Hey, by the way, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Hurry to Armin Chevy. The $7,000 500 federal EV tax credit ends September 30th. Now in stock. The Equinox Blazer and Silverado EVs together, let's drive. I'm turning to Mr. Amara. Ruben, you were never the manager. You were the general manager. Rob Thompson's got a conundrum to figure out. Poll question. When Trey Turner returns from injury, who should bat lead off for the playoffs, Bader or Turner?
No conundrum. It's Turner.
Why?
Because he's the best hitter they have. At the top of the lineup. He has the most hits. He's the best hitter. And if you put him in a four hole, he's going to change his the thing that has made him the best hitter again.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Or one of the best hitters in the league, and you stick him in one hole.
All right, give me your top four against a right-handed pitcher. Playoffs. You got Turner, one. Who's two? Schwarber?
Schwarber, Harper, Bohm.
Not Bader.
Or Bader.
Bader, four. Bohm, yeah, after
Bader
that.
Or four. Or,
and by the listen, way, it's been JT for the last month. I mean, Bohm's got to prove.
And he's been good, my JT.
I think Bohm at best is six, best.
My feeling on this is that Bohm has done it before and has had success doing it. Bader has not, and it gives us so much more depth. Originally, I thought Bader, but when Bohm came back and looks the way he looks right now, and he's free and easy with his swing, that's the reason why I might go with Bohm.
I'll just say this. Bader's my four.
I'm okay with Bader at four.
I'm not bumping him from one to like five or six.
I'm okay with it.
All right, one
he
more question.
He would be six.
When it's a left
or Bohm or six.
When it's a left-handed pitcher. So Trey won, who's two? Is that Bader
same
or is
way.
That Schwarber?
Nah, same way.
Okay. All right, 215-592-9494. A lot to chew on and react to.
What do you think Rob Thompson will actually do? Like that's what you really.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, he'll have Trey one.
Yep. He sure will.
I'd be shocked if he's not.
Well, I think part of it all.
Why would he not?
Well, because Bader's been really good at one.
Okay, great. I mean, that was great for 1 week at one. 1 week.
Yeah, but
Bader's never been a leadoff guy. This is not him. He's swinging the bat well.
But is it this team's identity now? Like, is that part of what makes this team so confident?
One of the things that we struggled with in the past is not having depth in the lineup. That once you got past the first three guys in the lineup, they were done. And if they weren't going well, they were done. Guess what? You put Bader back there and you put Stott and Marsh back there. Now you got real problems for the pitcher.
All right.
Real ones.
All right, look, everyone can react on all this. Trey or Bader at one, who should it be? And as we've been talking a lot today about the Eagles offense with what AJ and Jalen said after the game, do you want to see them attack differently on offense? These would include things like passing more early, not handing it off on 3rd and 15, which I feel like they've probably done about 5 or 6 times this year. When I say 3rd and 15, you know what I mean. Might be 3rd and 13, might be 3rd and 17. But they've been very conservative there. You know, do you want to see them put more on Jalen passing in the first half and attack it differently? I don't. It's tempting. The way he played in the second half was so exceptional. And it was great. It was phenomenal. But I also know they almost always land the plane with a win. I mean, almost always at the end of the day, it's a W. And this one was playing with more fire than typical. Okay. I mean, this was as most fire as they've had probably in any of these sluggish starts that they've had over the last couple of years. I mean, they were down by, what, 19 points? But, like, wow, they always win. So am I really looking to change the script up? No, I'm not. But I sense a lot of people want to. You tell us, 215-592-9494. We'll talk to Elliot in a few minutes. Let's go to Corey in Pottstown right now. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, everyone. I got to talk about the Eagles. I got a What If, and also I have a Bernie Perrant story.
Sure.
I'm going to get choked up on it, so let me get this out the way. I think as far as Jalen, as far as the Eagles airing it out more or letting it out open more, he only threw seven more passes than we wanted him to throw. Last year, I guess the narrative, if we can keep him between 20 and 25 passes, that would be good for Jalen. And he only threw seven more passes this week, so, and that was because they were behind.
Well, seven's a pretty big number for what it's worth. I mean, that's not inconsequential.
Seven's a big number if they're winning. Seven's not a big number if you're down 19 points in the third quarter.
I agree with you. I agree with that.
So, I got a what if. It's global. What if CTE was discovered in the 1970s? What would football be like today?
Well, probably similar.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll say this. My guess is similar, but maybe less people would have died because they would have had certain measures earlier to pull people off field in games and not have them play the next week. And but, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. It's not like football has changed that much in the last 15,
kickoff,
20 years with this as a
kickoff.
I know.
Big hit.
I know.
That's changed a lot.
It has, but they're still playing football.
The equipment technology has changed
exactly.
A lot.
Corey, my concern for football on the positive. Biggest level, and I said this years ago and it hasn't happened yet, I think the single biggest threat to football, single biggest threat, is if high schools and grade schools stop playing football because of legality issues, and then you don't have the feeder system to college and pro football.
Exactly.
I mean, that in the next 50 to 100 years could happen. You know, if a school district president says, I can't justify allowing football out here because we just lost four straight lawsuits, no more football. If that spreads, then you got a real problem. So we'll see. All right, give me the Bernie Perrant thing you're saying there, Corey.
All right. I am the baby of seven kids, and my parents were from the South, and my dad was a front runner. He was a Cowboys fan, Yankee fan, a Lakers fan. The only team that we enjoyed together was the Flyers. His favorite player was Bernie Perrant. I love Reggie Leach and Rick McLeish. Those were my two favorite players. So when we got to meet Bernie Perrant, I'm telling you now, I was absolutely the adult in the building. My dad loved Bernie Perrant. He would always say to me, no matter how many goals your team can score, if the goalie stinks, your team's not going to be good. And that's why he loved Bernie Perrant, because he was the best back then. And he almost brought him to tears when you first met Bernie Perrant. And the memory I have with my dad of him being so excited to meet his hero at that time, it just gets me, and it hit me hard on Sunday. And so I couldn't call yesterday because I was just too emotional. But yes.
It's a beautiful story, Corey. It really is, man. Listen, Bernie touched millions of people's lives. I mean, millions.
Yes.
And it was, in my opinion, a combination, the playing ability and that which led to two cups, but the personality.
Oh, the personality was huge.
Yeah,
I never when the Flyers were great and they would always have playoff games and you would go down, they'd have those block parties and Holt's Cigar Bar. I mean, he walked into the place and the presence.
Right.
And
he was like the Pied Piper
anybody.
Walking around, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing.
All right, Corey, beautiful story. Great call. We love you, Corey. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, my man.
Corey.
I mean, Ruben, you know, you walk in, it's like the Pied Piper. I mean, it's
special. It's special. I mean, I go back in my memory, 74, 75, in that era, and all I could think about is when we were riding in the parade, and I think it was like at, I don't know, Five Corners or whatever, where, Northeast Philly, and being on top of our station wagon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love.
I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So you remember this.
And I had my Bernie Perrant uni on. Yeah. With mask and the
with
and
mask.
Wait, mask pads, the whole nine yards, Mylek, you know, stick, and then
great.
And we also
work
had our
by you.
We also had the net on top of our dude,
on top
we had a
of
whole
the
nine yards
vehicle?
On the vehicle.
Wow,
we weren't going anywhere.
You're surfing on the vehicle with the net
with
on top.
My bro on top.
That is so good,
that's
man.
Good parenting.
That's so good.
That's great parenting.
That is great parenting.
9, 10 years old. My
much
brother 12.
Respect.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Oh, all right, man, let's talk. Just get on top of the car,
Bernie Perrant.
Bernie was the man. Let's talk some Eagles football with Elliot Sher Parks. He's brought to us every Tuesday by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this morning?
Elliot, do you ever have a moment as a kid where you, like, I was Buddy Ryan for Halloween. Ruben was Bernie Perrant at a parade. At the parade.
I went as Allen Iverson to a Halloween party.
That's pretty good.
I did my hair in braids. I had the jersey on. I had fake tattoos. It was really funny.
What did a young Elliot do?
I wish I had cooler Halloween costumes than I did. It sounds like you guys knew where it was at. I remember dressing up as like the Joker from Batman. Like, I was not cool things growing up. So
yeah, and you're still
very
not, by
cool
the way.
From you guys. No, I know. Yeah, Joker's, well, I'm cooler than you. But, yeah.
Cooler than me.
Yeah, the irony of Joe saying that.
As
right?
You wear your soccer outfits. All right. Sure.
He's coming for fashion.
There we go.
Of all the ways to go
with
Elliot.
What's wrong with soccer?
Nothing's wrong with soccer.
Why
but
would you go there?
It's the soccer dork fans that are the problem.
Elliot wears a suit, though, when he covers the game. He looks good.
I hope your ankle feels better soon, man. Mr. Athlete over there.
Yeah. I'll kick you in the face with my good one. All right, so Elliot, let's...
It's just very aggressive.
It's got weird quick.
It's okay. It's all right. Remember when I showed up to your wedding late? Yeah, that was a pleasure.
Yeah, that was beautiful. My wife loved that. That was very kind of you.
I was making good use of my time. All right, so Elliot, all good stuff, bud. Let's get to this Eagles offense. They did what they frequently do, which is struggle early, thrive late, win. Now, this one was more different than normal because, you know, it was to an extreme level. So AJ and Jalen both said some stuff after the game. I want to play the audio first for you of Jalen Brown, and then, excuse me, Jalen Hurts, then the audio of AJ Brown, and get your assessment if the Eagles should attack differently offensively. Here's what Jalen Hurts said after the game.
Now, we completely did that to ourselves in the first half. Completely. We absolutely completely did that to ourselves, and that's something we gotta fix. It's as simple as that. It's unacceptable.
It's like you guys said later for this. Whatever happened in that first half, forget about it. Let's go and show who we are.
We play so many styles of football. We're in that first half. We got to get out of this plan not to lose. We got to come out aggressive and play our game. You saw our game in the second half.
All right, so you heard the we got to play not to lose thing. All right, table your thoughts on that, Elliot. Let's get to AJ and what he said at the locker.
Me personally, I truly believe, man, we got so many good players on this team, you know, and at times, you know, you can feel like we're being conservative, and I don't think it should be like that, you know. I think it should, you know, let your killers do their thing, you know, and play fast and play aggressive. I'm not saying that we haven't been, but you know, me personally, that's what I would like, you know. Obviously, we're gonna run the ball and we're gonna set up the run off the pass and the pass off the run, but you know, we have a lot of good players and I feel like you should just let us go.
All right, Elliot, here's the million-dollar question. Should they play a different brand of offense? Yes or no?
No. No, they should not. I mean, they're like 36-2 when they win the turnover battle. They win basically every single week they play. They just won the Super Bowl. I don't really see why they would change how they play. Now, coming off of the Kansas City game where they only had 100 yards passing, like, yes, of course, you can't play to that degree. But this team has emphasized for really since Sirianni's got here, but I would say especially over the last calendar year, the turnover battle. And because of that, they basically win every week they play. So, yeah, I look, they got to take shots down the field. Absolutely. That begins with Jalen. If Jalen doesn't want to play to lose, the good news is that's in his hands, right? Like, he decides where the ball goes. And I thought in the second half, they didn't run different routes. They didn't run a different offense. He just got rid of the ball and gave his guys chances to make plays. So this offense is at its best when they take care of the ball and they take shots down the field. So I would keep playing how they play.
So if everyone, it sounds like everyone in question wants to get more aggressive and push the ball downfield, why has it taken 2.5 games to force the ball to AJ?
So I think on Sunday, like, I feel like there's this idea that they figured something out in the second half. I don't think that's what happened. I think they just went to hurry up, went super simple. The Rams kind of backed off because they were up big.
Yeah.
And then by the time, you know, the Rams tried to kind of get it back in order, it was too late. Like, I don't think they can maybe carry the momentum over into next week, but I don't think they solved anything on offense in that second half. So as to why the ball is not being given to AJ or, you know, these guys in the 50-50 chances, Jalen wasn't throwing it to him the first 2.5 weeks. Like, mm-hmm. he was playing conservative. And again, like, while it's painful to watch, I understand why he does that. Like, yes, I think he can be a little more giving guys chances, but if he's not going to throw interceptions, he's not going to turn the ball over. They're like basically never going to lose. So I can't completely fault him for doing that.
So what about on 3rd and 15? Should that be a run or a pass, Elliot? And I know if you're down by 20, you're going to pass. And if it's more of a close game, you might run. But 3rd and 15 as a concept, do you sign off on the handoff or do you want to see them turn Jalen loose on that?
So I think it depends a little bit on where they're at. When they're backed up, like within their own 20, I understand handing it off. Now, I also understand the emotion. Like, I was at the stadium and it was ugly when they were doing that. Like, I get it. But again, when this team wins the turnover battle, they don't lose. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's kind of that simple. So when it's 3rd and 15, I completely understand it looks like they're giving up. It looks like they don't trust Jalen. Like, I get that. But I also understand that if you're going to win the game, like, taking a risk near your own end zone is just not worth it, especially when you have a defense that's playing at a high level.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say about 3rd and 15 that Sirianni probably has all sorts of data on. It's probably one of the highest percentage plays that you turn the ball over in football. Like, I would think that you're more likely to throw a interception on 3rd and 15 than 1st and 10. And I think Sirianni's probably
we've
playing
seen
to
them. We've seen them just sort of chalk that up to experience and basically rush to get into the locker room to figure out how they're going to come out and prepare better for the second half. That's nickel 40, nickel 41. It's the only run that's installed in a 2-minute situation. They get to it when it's a concession, like, hey, let's just run the clock and get off the field. It's not a big thing. It's just, hey, let's get out. Let's
but it's
replan,
part of what AJ is. You're talking about this. The end of a half. I'm talking about they've done it a bunch this year. And I'm sure it's part of what frustrates AJ. I mean, it's unusual. I mean, let me put it this way. If Jalen is a top five quarterback, some think he is, some think he's not.
It's not unusual when you've got five guys in the box and you've got six guys to block them. Cover them all up and then some, you run that play.
If you have a top five quarterback and two of the best wide receivers in football, it is unusual to run it that often on 3rd and 15. It is. I mean, I think that, but look, I sign off on it, Elliot, because they always end up winning.
Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get your point, Joe, that on 3rd and 15, if you have the talent the Eagles have, why you would do it. I would just be curious to know if what you're saying is true. Like if the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs don't have great receivers, but if teams like that truly do throw it a lot in that instance, or if we went and looked at those examples, if they're actually running it more than we think.
We have some issues on the other side of the football defensively. Cornerback is a real problem now. We might be without two, Adoree and Ja'Korian Bennett. What's the news on them right now?
Yeah, so we'll find out more this week. The Eagles will be back at practice tomorrow. I saw Adoree in the locker room afterwards. He seemed in good spirits. Obviously, that's not always the best indication of how a guy is feeling. We'll see how much they can do this week. But if either of them can't go, I think they'll turn to Kelee Ringo or potentially Mack McWilliams. Like, I wouldn't rule out Mack McWilliams being the guy that goes over Kelee. So the good news for the Eagles is Mike Evans is dealing with a hamstring injury. So if he doesn't play, we'll see if Chris Godwin lines up. But, if they're out without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, then obviously the need at corner is a little bit less. So, yeah, we'll find out more as the week goes on.
Well, this is incredible. I mean, we've talked an awful lot about Kelee Ringo heading into the season. We had not talked as much about Mack McWilliams because he's the backup nickel behind Cooper DeJean for most intents and purposes. But it's so that's news if you're saying that they would choose to move him outside as opposed to playing Kelee Ringo.
Yeah, well, at the end of training camp, he was ahead of Kelee on the depth chart. And he started camp at nickel. Yeah, he started camp at nickel, but he moved to the outside as camp went on and was there at the end. So obviously I've not seen them practice, since training camp ended. But I wouldn't completely rule that out.
Elliot, who is going to be the kick returner or kick returners in 5 days versus the Bucs?
I mean, claiming Xavier Gibson is an interesting move. He's someone that's returned a lot of kicks in his career. He's returned punts as well. So maybe they truly feel like the kick returners were to blame for all those muff punt kicks. And obviously they are. They're the ones out there. But the Rams kicker is a bit of a unique kicker. He kicks a bit of a knuckleball. It makes it hard to pick up. We'll talk to Michael Clay later today. I don't think he's going to tell us who the kick returner is, but I am curious to hear just the tone and how much blame he's putting on the kick returner. So I still think it'll probably be Tank Bigsby and John Metchie, but they claim this guy for a reason. So, we'll find out.
I feel like normally when a guy gets claimed in that manner, he plays the next week.
I mostly agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, it could, and I hate to be like super harsh, but it could cost Metchie his career. I mean,
I think Bigsby would be in a little more trouble. Now they traded for him, so I guess they traded
for both.
Too,
yeah,
but Metchie at least plays on offense. But for sure, I mean, they acquired Tank Bigsby to be the kick returner. It's been 2 weeks; he's been nothing but a negative. So it's certainly they claimed this guy for a reason.
Yeah, Elliot, good work, pal. We'll talk on Friday as we get ready for the Bucks game. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep, talk to you.
All right, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today. From the Tasty Cake Studio. Let me give you some good fills. I don't know if it's not news. News is not the word. But I saw this on ESPN.com. Put me in a good mood this morning. The Phillies, even without Wheeler, ESPN says have the second best starting rotation in the baseball for all the playoff teams. I mean, that's almost impossible, Ruben.
It's real.
No, it is real. Like, I say it's almost
those
impossible.
Those three left-handers are pretty special.
The credit to those guys.
Is it Bueller? The
Dodgers they got the Dodgers one. They got the Phillies two. Mm-hmm. So, Ruben, I think it's got to be Walker Bueller. Four.
It's going to be Nola. It's going to be Nola on a short leash.
Well.
That's who it's going to be.
I can't sign off on that.
Okay, well, that's what it's going to be. So you're going to have to live with
it. But it's not who it should be.
Do you like that, Ruben?
I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. I would go with him. I would go with Nola, and I would have a very short leash on him.
And is Walker Bueller the guy that slides in? You just go right, righty, and that's the game?
Maybe. That's what I would do.
I don't like it. I mean, I'm still open-minded based on the final round of starts in the final week of the season here, but based on what we've seen to this point, I think Walker Buehler should get the ball.
Did you see our 2008 rotation? Do you remember?
I did. But have you seen Aaron Nola pitch this season?
At times he can. Again, it's a blow up. It's a blow up inning, and he has not been as sharp. But when he is going through those two or three innings where his stuff is sharp, you'll take it. That's what teams are doing now.
Okay, let's go to the phones.
L.A. Dodgers won it that last year doing it.
I get it. I get it.
Several times.
All right, so what do you make of the Nola, Walker, Buehler thing? Also, who should bat leadoff for the Phillies? It is good to know that, you know, ESPN, as they rounded it up with their experts, has the Phillies still as the second-best rotation, even without that really is extraordinary. I mean, you lose a top three or four pitcher in baseball, maybe top two or three.
Top two.
So who's one?
Scooble.
Or Skeens. Scooble?
Yeah, he's probably Skeens, Scooble, Wheeler, probably the top three.
All right, so top we can all agree top three.
I think so.
I mean, you lose the top three pitcher in baseball and you still have the second best rotation? That's incredible.
Yep.
All right, plus the Eagles. Would you like to see them attack things differently? You got Elliott saying no. I'm saying no. But you can tell AJ and Jalen are saying, let's loosen the reins a bit here. And I can understand why they're saying that. Should they or shouldn't they? 215-592-9494. Rick in Easton. Rick, good morning.
Well, Ruben knows more about baseball than I do, but I still like the Pete Rose energy that Bader brings to the top of that order, and I love Turner hitting second, and I really, really would rather have Harper hitting ahead of Schwarber to make them pitch, throw strikes to Harper, and I think that Schwarber gets you the protection. He's such a consummate, number four hitter, cleanup hitter. That's the way I would go. But listen, I'll defer to your expertise, Ruben, and it is what it is, and you'll have to see what happens.
I actually
doesn't mean I'm right.
Yeah, I don't defer to Ruben's expertise. I just tell him, like, with the Aaron Nola thing, you're
doesn't
wrong.
Doesn't mean I'm right.
The other thing that I want to touch on, and I don't think it's been brought up enough, or maybe it shouldn't be brought up that much, but is Jalen Carter going to grow up?
Yeah.
Once again, he could have cost us that game. You block the field goal, get off the field.
Yep.
You have to get the taunting penalty. That pushed him back 15 yards.
And, Rick, that was a legit taunt. What Puka Nacua did, not a legit taunt.
Lame.
That was bad by the NFL and by that ref. Yep. What Jalen Carter did was a legit taunt worthy of a 15-yard penalty. He's got to adapt.
Unbelievable. Honestly,
it's horrible.
Like we because they won such an amazing game, it got brushed under the rug.
Totally swept away.
Like the fact that 2 weeks later in the same building, his first time back in that first time playing a game in that building this year, he got a taunting foul. Are you kidding me?
I agree. James, enough has not been made of it. I agree with you.
You're right.
And but they're going to talk to him. I'm sure it'll be kept in.
Yeah, but here's
she's joking. Yeah, that's good. You got him there for a second.
Yeah, I was going to say, but they talked to him 2 weeks
really
ago.
Good.
No, you're right, Ray. You are dead right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely, come on. Yeah.
And I know we won the game, but, Adams definitely pushed off on that 45-yard touchdown.
No question.
That should have been offensive interference. And I really don't – I'm not usually a homer. I really don't
AJ
think
pushed
that
up
AJ
on...
did. I think AJ dropped his arms down.
I would not have called the AJ one.
Guys push off. I mean, it happens
all
the time.
Yeah, but Devontae
guys
was
– hold on every play.
Yeah,
guys
Devontae was extreme.
Push off on every play. It's just
–
Devontae
was a full extension of the arm. When I see the arm straight, that says to me that's a penalty. And I didn't see that with AJ. I saw that with Devontae.
Yeah, when they extend their elbow, that definitely should have been called. Anyway, it is what it is. They won the game. My phone was blowing up as I'm driving back from a wrestling tournament.
Hold on.
College.
Let me say this. You can extend your elbow when your arm is at waist level.
Yeah, but I'm saying at the player's body. That's what I'm saying.
I get it. I get it. But there's all sorts of little tricks that they actually
coach you to
keep if you're going to extend like that. Make sure you've got your hand on the guy's waist.
That looked like one where you usually see a flag thrown. It's the best way to put it. It's like usually when you see that play look like that, they throw a flag.
I'm talking about
Devontae's.
Let's put it this way, because technically, according to the rule book, it's supposed to be either player's ball. If the defensive player had done that to Devontae Adams, that is pass interference 100,000% of the time.
Absolutely.
But I do like it when they let him play to some
that
degree.
That one was extreme. Listen, anyway. All right, Rick, give me an answer. Give me a great, you can win today the Brian Adams tickets. You can win my book, The Best of Philly Sports, which is available for purchase on Amazon.com. Give me a great answer for a sports what if.
What if St. Louis Cardinals gave Carlton the $5,000 he wanted and we never traded Wise for Carlton?
I'll tell you what, it would have gone from Robin Roberts to Jim Bunning to Curt Schilling with no Steve Carlton in between, I guess. All right, 215-592-9494. That's one of the great trades of all time. All right, coming up, we got some really not only cool, but I'll call it special audio of the final time Bernie Parent was ever on our show, talking about the moment when the Flyers won the Cup, and it's a story you may not know. You really may not know about the final 10 seconds of that game. We'll get to that. Bryce Harper, something he said about the bye in baseball, something the Phillies are very likely to get. Plus, Nick Sirianni at 8:40. The Eagles head coach joins us in a half hour, and your phone calls on all these topics on 94 WIP.
FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. First, go to FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to get started. And new customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style. FanDuel has you covered. Visit FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to download the FanDuel app today and get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.